in the limelight. The huge amount of resources allocated by the US administration to contain China were not only wasted, but worsened America's domestic economic and social problems. According to World Bank statistics, although the United States has increased its defense spending, this has done nothing to improve the safety of Americans at home and abroad, but raised the national debt to more than 105% of gross domestic product, or GDP, in 2019. The crippling national debt, in turn, reduced spending on education and healthcare services, whilst leaving dilapidated infrastructure in a state of disrepair, all of which undermined economic growth and social welfare in America. Deficient funding for these socio-economic enhancement programs erodes the quality and the health of the labor force, making it less innovative and productive. Delaying infrastructure repair could adversely affect transportation and logistics efficiency. Stay with us for an interesting article written by Ken Moak, who taught economic theory, public policy and globalization at university level for 33 years. He's also the co-author of a book titled China's Economic Rise and Its Global Impact in 2015. The piece is titled Why US Government Needs a Rethink of Its China Policy. The article has been taken from the AsiaTimes.com website. Stay with us for more of Ken Moak's article. It's time for the United States to rethink its policy on China, in that none of its efforts to tame the Asian giant's economic, technological, and military prowess have succeeded. US President Donald Trump's tariffs on Chinese imports did slow China's GDP growth, or gross domestic product growth, from 6.6% to 6.1% in 2019. But America's economic growth fell faster, from more than 3% to around 2% in the same period. U.S. officials such as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, traveling around the world, warning anyone who cared to listen that China's Belt and Road Initiative, or BRI, is a debt trap, went nowhere. Because, according to the Chinese government statistics, the number of countries joining it rose from around 60 to more than 80 between 2013 and 2019, culminating in two-way trade of over $6.5 trillion in 2019. In spite of strong US pressure on its allies to keep Huawei out of their markets, the company's sales increased by 18% in 2019, year on year. Instead of being frightened by freedom of navigation operations, China became more active militarily in chasing American warships away and adding more weapons in the South China Sea. There are just a few of the long list of US policy failures vis-a-vis China. The irony is that US policies are not only making China stronger in practically all fields, they're also putting global economic growth and geopolitical stability at risk. America's trade war against China has disrupted the world supply chain, which was established by the United States in the first place, prompting the World Bank to reduce its estimates of US and world economic growth to around 2% and 3% respectively in 2019. Increasing the freedom of navigation operations in the South China Sea inflames both sides' emotions, heightening tensions and causing miscalculations. For example, the 2018 near collision between the Chinese and a US ship was a result of heightened tensions. The Chinese Navy appeared determined to block the US freedom of navigation operations and prepared to ram the American warship if it persisted in sailing near a Chinese-built island. In light of these effects, it could be argued that the huge amount of resources allocated to contain China were not only wasted, but actually worsened America's domestic economic and social problems. According to World Bank figures, although the United States has increased its defense spending, this has done nothing to improve the safety of Americans both at home and abroad, but raised the national debt to more than 105% of the gross domestic product, or GDP, in 2019. The crippling national debt in turn reduced spending on education and healthcare services, whilst leaving dilapidated infrastructure in a state of disrepair, all of which undermined economic growth and social welfare in America. Deficient funding for these socio-economic enhancement programs erodes the quality and health of the labor force, making it less innovative and less productive. Delaying infrastructure repair could adversely affect transportation and logistics efficiency. In short, by focusing on containing China instead of caring for its own people, the US government might be responsible for the nation's rising poverty, the number of homeless in America, and falling life expectancy in America. Besides, whether China is a real or perceived threat is debatable, because the assumptions and facts used by scholars, pundits, and politicians, like White House advisor Peter Navarro, the Hudson Institute's Michael Pillsbury, and U.S. Senator Marco Rubio, can all be challenged. Peter Navarro used an imaginary scholar and questionable information to accuse China of hollowing out U.S. manufacturing and stealing American jobs, in his now-discredited book entitled Death by China. The truth is that closing factories and losing manufacturing jobs was a deliberate decision by the United States to relocate production abroad and instigate automation at home. Besides, how can any country, including China, steal another nation's jobs? The Hudson Institute's Michael Pillsbury applied the outrageous assumption that the Chinese game Go used devious means to defeat an opponent as the centerpiece of his thesis that China was trying to supplant U.S. dominance. In his book titled The 100-Year Marathon, Michael Pillsbury insisted that China would apply Fu Manchu tactics to topple U.S. hegemony by 2049, the 100th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. U.S. Republican Senator Marco Rubio might have emerged as the ultimate China hawk in the U.S. Congress, because he has sponsored a number of anti-China legislations, including those prohibiting or restricting Chinese investments in the United States, and calling for the government to stop the Asian giant's industrial policy. Made in China 2025, charging that it is a threat to American supremacy. But by his logic, it is the United States that is the biggest threat in the world because it has dominated almost everything under the sun. In examining U.S. anti-China rhetoric, such as the examples listed above, one could argue that it is all about sustaining U.S. global hegemony. Indeed, Donald Trump and his senior officials have admitted as much, saying the United States cannot allow China or any other country to be in a position of challenging America's supremacy. Furthermore, maintaining global supremacy unites the Republicans and the Democrats, America's two major political parties. Former Democratic U.S. President Barack Obama negotiated the Trans-Pacific Partnership in an effort to prevent China from writing global trade rules. His 2012 pivot to Asia was aimed at containing China's rise. Unfortunately, having overwhelming bipartisan support would further inflame tensions between the world's two largest economies, because neither party wants to be seen as soft on what they wrongly named the evil communist China. Indeed, it could be argued that relations between the two giants are at their worst since they established diplomatic relations. The United States is ratcheting up defense spending, trying to outproduce China in advanced weaponry, and is restricting Chinese scholars and Chinese students coming into the shores of the United States and banning technology firms from selling products to China. In light of the huge increases in defense spending, the anti-China policies might also be driven by interest groups such as the military-industrial complex that the late President Dwight D. Eisenhower warned the country on his farewell speech. The military-industrial complex is made up of weapons production organizations, lobbyists, and the Pentagon, with the single-minded goal of keeping America on the apex of arms production and arms sales. The United States military-industrial complex has become very influential in shaping foreign and defense policies. Weapons producers such as Lockheed Martin have been contributing huge sums to politicians' elections, particularly to those sitting on congressional armed forces and appropriations committees, and paying retired senior government and military officials handsomely to lobby former subordinates in the Pentagon and other relevant departments. Their investment has paid off given the size of the U.S. defense budget. As indicated at the outset, the consequences of trying to stifle China for no reason other than sustaining hegemony and promoting the interests of a few at the expense of the nation are clear. Such postures not only put global economic and geopolitical security at risk, they harm the image and interests of America and its people. Isn't it time for the United States public to demand that their government rethink its policies vis-a-vis China?